This is iRadio's
group chat.
If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
Black Friday is just days away and we're all being hit with sales and influencer recommendations at the minute. But new reports show a really interesting shift in how we shop. The CCPC says nearly two-thirds of consumers don't trust sales prices, yet 72% of us still make impulse buys and often regret them. The ASA report shows 29% of people check influencer content weekly before buying, and younger shoppers are 40% more likely to buy something purely because an influencer recommended it. And the Visa and TikTok report reveals many UK creators now earn over €1,800 a month, with more than half getting payments from abroad and treating themselves as small businesses. So what does all of this mean for creators, brands and the future of shopping? To break it down, I'm joined by Tara Moriarty from The Collective Agency, one of Ireland's leading influencer agencies. Tara, thanks so much for hopping on iRadio's group chat. From these reports, the Advertising Standards Authority show that nearly a third of people are checking influencer posts weekly before buying. Is that surprising for you?
No, it's not, because I can see the sales on our end. So typically, before, I suppose, TikTok Shop started last December, we wouldn't have had those stats, but now we can see the real-time sales. So I can absolutely vouch for that one anyway. So just in our perspective, we are a TikTok Shop agency also in Ireland. So, and we've generated, between our agency, 6 million Irish sales, 6 million euro Irish sales since December. So yeah, they absolutely do go on to creators to buy their products.
It's interesting that you're able to see those stats definitely backed up on your end as well. And the ASA found that younger consumers, especially those between 15 and 24 years old, are heavily influenced by creators, with 40% buying because an influencer recommended something. And I'm curious about your views on this. Does it signal a strong trust between influencers and their audience? Or do you think it shows skepticism that people feel the need, that they need advice before spending?
I think it's more the side of marketing where they feel like they want to be closer to that creator. I think there's definitely that mentality in marketing that's always been there, and that shows through by selling. So if they love the creator and I suppose they want the lifestyle that the creator has, there's definitely an influence there on that side. And then there would be larger creators that they do trust because they know that they're not just coming on to sell anything. So with our agency, we're very specific in what brands that we deal with or deal with that we work with, and what brands that we promote. So I think that, I suppose on our side, I can definitely vouch for that here, that the creators are joined with brands that are authentic to them. And that's very cliche, but they are.
I understand what you're saying. You know, when someone is very, very popular, if you want to be like them and you see them promoting something or wearing something or doing something in their life, I can understand why people would want to then be just like them. But on the flip side of it, over 50% of consumers are saying that they're worried about influencers misrepresenting products. What do you recommend to influencers to make sure that they're protecting that trust that they can hold with their audience?
It's how the content is created, I think, is really important. If you see a piece of content that you are working for a brand and it is classified as a hashtag ad, I think it needs to be more authentic and less briefed. So we work with our brands very closely to do less briefed and more authentic to the style of what that content creator would always do anyway. So when you see a creator then pop up online doing a piece of content that doesn't relate to the content they've always pushed out, it just feels a bit unauthentic to the follower, and they feel that that's where the mistrust is coming in. They're feeling like you're just being paid to do it and that's why you're doing it this way. Do you really even like it yourself, or are you just doing it because you got the ad? And I think it's important. Brands are really coming along to that, but agencies need to do that as well. They need to represent their creators in a fashion that they can go back to the brand and say, well, look, we would rather do it this way because this is how this creator works anyway and shows up for her followers. So it would be more authentic then. And they use it anyway as well. Now, you don't need as a creator to be consistently using every single product that's on the market because, you know, but it just, I think it's how the content is portrayed as an ad. That's the important part. And that leads to mistrust with followers when it's completely different than their normal content.
Do you think that the transparency in the industry is evolving quickly then? So I know that there is another stat by the ASA report that says 63% of influencers are now recognising and using the hashtag ad that you just mentioned there. So transparency seems to be kind of on the rise, or do you think, is there still a long way to go?
I think with younger creators, it seems to be not used as much. And I think that's a big shame, because it also misrepresents what they're doing in the video to their followers. And that's where, as an agency owner, I don't like that, as because I am also a follower, and I want to see that if you are being paid or if you are being asked to do this by the brand, that it is classified as a hashtag ad. I think it's more the younger generation aren't going to come onto it unless they're with an agency, because with agencies, we're very strict with that. We want to make sure that all our creators are following the ACI and CCPC. I want to make sure that they're following the guidelines. And only last week, I sent over a few emails just to remind everyone that they have to use it. Now, I'm not a fan with using gifted, hashtag gifted and hashtag ad with gifted products. But look, that's a story for another day. That's just not my opinion. But when it comes to an ad, and if even if it's a food review, they should be classified as ads. I think that's a big loophole that's going to come out next year that the ACI will really have to jump on, because it's just leading to mistrust with followers. We know that you're being paid for it, but you're not letting us know.
Because consumers are clearly relying more on influencers, especially before the big sale events, like I'm sure you're very busy with Black Friday and Christmas now. Do you think that brands in general, in your own view, are going to start funneling even more of their marketing budget into influencer-led content now going forward, because it's been so successful?
They have in the last 4 or 5 years. It's been a huge jump. I think it's apparent that traditional media isn't working as well as it did, and the prices are higher. And I don't know if I should be saying this on radio, but you know, we're priced differently, but we can see real-time sales as well. So it's very hard with traditional print media, say, for example, I'll use print media. It's very hard to know what sales came from that ad. But now we can actually say, well, the link clicks on this was 2,000 link clicks. So just for example, if you used a creator, one of our larger creators, they work really well, I won't mention them, but just to give an example, they might get 3,000 link clicks on that one product. Take 10, 20, 30% transferred sales, and they might continue to be a recurring customer. You can't gauge that from a print ad. So they've been doing that for the last 4 years. They've been funneling all their budget really into influencer work. You know, that has been the way for the last 4 or 5 years. I'm in this now 8 years.
You must have seen a lot of changes then, so since when you started 8 years ago versus now, if there has been a shift in that energy.
Absolutely. And, you know, we could, I've often said it, you know, myself and my staff could work 24 hours here at a computer with emails that come in, because we now work with brands globally too. So, you know, there's constant work available. It's down to the creators to get the work. Do you know what I mean? We have to work with creators, but they have to work with those too. But the brands have the full budgets and availability there for them. It's just for the taking, really. And like, we do traditional ads with brands as well, and they work very well, but they are leaning towards working with creators rather than actors, which is another side of things that have changed, because influencers are more well-known. They've got more reach. They're posting around 10 videos a day, you have to remember as well. And each video might get between 40 and 2,000 views. So that's a huge viewership from Ireland that you're engaging with every single day. And maybe 10 videos.
On that, I know that there was a Visa and a TikTok report done that shows that many UK influencers are earning like at least or more than €1,800. Is that the same case in Ireland for a lot of these bigger influencers?
I thought that figure was very low, to be honest. Especially with TikTok Shop now, some creators are withdrawing 22,000, 20,000, 40,000 a month from the commission that they're making on sales on TikTok Shop in Ireland. So it said we have a revenue that came in at 6 million. We're the third largest agency in Europe for TikTok Shop. But they're making a lot more than that on TikTok Shop. But then you have other avenues, like you have music usage as well. You can get paid per song that you use on your videos on TikTok or on Instagram as well. There's huge volume. I suppose Instagram does pay much higher per ad. It's much higher than 1,800 a month. And that can start now. Just to make preference, I think there was a reference there to age group. We only work with creators over 18. But I think that figure was a bit low, to be very honest. If you were to do it in Ireland, I think you'd get a bit higher. English creators do a lot of UGC work, so that's a lot lower income.
It's interesting to look at it, you know, like the stats between each country, for sure. And when it comes to Irish influencers then, so what would you think are the biggest financial pressures facing them.
I suppose it's a service-based industry, so it's themselves recording the content. The product is given by the brand and the brief is given by the brand. So, you know, and the agency takes a small commission from that. So they're getting the bulk of the money over. My goal, I suppose, as an agency owner, is that as soon as they start to make sure that they have an income viable to set up as being self-employed, and the majority of them do fairly fast. I think that's a misconception that a lot of Irish people have about creators, that they're not self-employed and paying taxes. They absolutely are, and they have to. And that goes in the same regard for TikTok Shop, because a lot of people have signed up for TikTok Shop and are selling online that have not been in work in a long time, or, you know, they've come off their benefits and they are now self-employed, because you have to. You're not going to get away with that. But there would be a very small percentage of them that aren't self-employed. So I suppose their only main outputs would be accountancy and tax.
Do you think that there will be major changes coming in the creator economy over the next little while? I mean, is it a stable long-term career path for people? Or are there bigger disruptions along the way? Or possibly, we don't know all of those answers maybe straight away at the minute, because things seem to be constantly evolving.
They are, but at the moment I can only see AI interrupting that next year. I think AI might take over a little bit next year with the brands. They might start using it a bit more, and that might take the influencers out of it. But influencers have so many different revenue streams. So not only paid partnerships on traditional social media, but then they also have TikTok Shop. They don't have the Creator Fund in Ireland, but they do have it in other countries. But then they also have music usage apps, and we also work with music labels as well to do music usage. There's so many different, like, you can use Snapchat, you can get paid for your views there, YouTube. Even if you're not signed with an agency or doing any brand work, you can get paid for your views in Ireland from, say, YouTube and Snapchat as well, and Facebook Reels. So there's so many options. I don't think there is a saturation in Ireland of creators, but I think it's just given us as agencies and brands also just more choice. So if you are a creator in Ireland, you just need to work really hard and treat it as a full-time job, because it is a full-time job. Trust me, if I could do it, I would be doing it, because the money there is very nice.
Well, I'm interested to see how this all evolves over the next 12 months for sure. And I'm sure we'll be catching up with you again. Tara, thank you so much for hopping on iRadio's group chat. Tara Moriarty from The Collective Agency.
Thank you so much.
This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it.